Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
So it's all for play for still?
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
I bloody love the transfer window. Yes, I bloody love the transfer window. How's everyone doing?
I don't know.
Welcome to For the Love of Pomegranate Podcast. It's me and Paddy coming at you again. We completely even forgot the games get played during the month of January because we've been doing so much transfer stuff. And next thing, Paddy texted me today and went, are we going to do a United preview? And I went, oh yeah, we've played games. Forgot all about that, you know. Because I suppose realistically, you know, you never know whether games are going to be called off or not, even up to 2 hours before the game. So there's no point in really concentrating on those. So I said, yeah, let's have a, we haven't gone live in a while. So a lot of the videos that you'd have seen would have been uploaded. So just said we'd go live and we'd have a chat about everything that's going on and so forth. But before we get into the nuts and bolts of today's podcast, if you could hit the like thingy somewhere along there at the bottom, underneath the YouTube video. Hit that like. If you don't subscribe. Love that too. And also, we do have a podcast partner for the rest of this month, and that is the Spond application. If you guys are listeners to the podcast, you would have heard me speak about this before, and you would have heard me speak about it at length, that I do use this application. It's available on iOS and it's available on Android, and I use it for organizing teams, organizing events, organizing... basically organizing, essentially. So if I need to herd cats and get a group of people to do something, I use this application. I find it really, really good to send out group messages, to edit any events, to edit reoccurring events like training sessions and so on, specifically at late notice. If you edit them, everybody gets notified. It's actually a real seamless system. And also another great thing that it allowed me to do was to accept membership or to request payment through the application as well. So it's a really, really good application. It's called Spond App, S-P-O. Indeed, go download it now and take a look at it. It might be worth your while. It might consolidate an awful lot of things that you're using for your own team or your sports group or your organization, or I don't know, drama group, or if any of you are into Morris dancing and you need to send out stuff on Morris dancing to a group of people, I've no idea what you guys do in your spare time, nor do I judge. So
what do we want to know with Morris dancing either?
Morris dancing is cool. I've seen people do Morris dancing before. I wouldn't do it myself, but I've seen people do it for sure. But as you can tell, lads, I'm pretty giddy because it's just been good news after good news after good news after good news since what, Thursday of this week. And the good news just keeps on coming, and long may it come, because you know, it's today it looks like that we're in the final throes of agreeing a transfer for Lucas Digne. And we'll get onto that in a moment, but we'll kind of try and do it chronologically, I suppose, really, would be probably the best thing, because this morning as well, Kane Hayden-Kessler was recalled back to Aston Villa Football Club. And I think it kind of caught me by surprise, Paddy. I think it caught a lot of people by surprise. I think Ashley Priest even put out and said, didn't expect that one. Talk to me, Anna. What are your views on it?
Well, I'm delighted he's back because it was an area of the pitch that we needed cover for. Obviously, somebody watched him on Friday night and decided, do you know what? Maybe this is somewhere we can save money. Let's get this guy back in. He can cover Matty Cash. We can put him on for 15, 20 minutes and games and give Matty Cash a break if we're winning. And there's a load of ways of looking at it. But the important thing was that the guy was absolutely brilliant. I only saw the first half on Friday night against Man City. My father, a Man City fan, asked me after 20 minutes, how much would we sign him for? Which I did tweet and text you at the time. So his eyes were open to Kane Kessler as well. He's just a lovely footballer. And I think with good training, he can be equally as good, if not better, than Matty Cash. And I know that's a big statement, but I've believed that for a long time since I've watched him play. So it's good to have him back in there, learning from experienced heads. And looking forward to seeing if he's in the plans.
I really am too. And I suppose, firstly, my mind jumped to maybe he's going out on loan again. Maybe he's going to go out on loan at a higher level. Maybe that FA Cup game against Man City. Maybe there was teams looking at him and that FA Cup game against Man City maybe brought maybe a championship team into the consideration, or maybe, God, I don't know, maybe a top team in Scotland. I've no idea. I've no idea what the story was. But then my mind went and I said, you know what? A lot of the loans have come back since Steven Gerrard has come in. And it's interesting because, well, like, we do have a loans manager in Millie Jednak. I think it's Millie Jednak, or is it Adam Henshaw? I can't remember which one it was. I know it was Jednak, and I think Jednak went into coaching. So I think it could be Adam Henshaw.
I can't remember. There's so much gone on since Steven Gerrard came in. I honestly can't remember.
Absolutely. But
he definitely was our loans manager at one stage, Millie Jednak. So
yeah, and I think, look, I think the way that this lower league football has kind of gone during the COVID pandemic, I think that it's kind of a situation whereby at the time the loans were good and they were working out and things were grand, but I suppose with games being cancelled and maybe the teams that they went to not having the seasons that we expected them to have, bar maybe Swindon, and players and managers trying to hold on to their jobs and playing more experienced players, I think things didn't work out. And I think specifically for Louis Barry, at the time I thought that was a super loan. Paul Cook is a very, very good manager. He didn't last the pace there. It didn't click at Ipswich. They brought in something like 14 to 19 players, I think it was. So that one just didn't work out. But King Hayden-Kessler did. And what I thought about it was that I think he's been brought back because we've only got 6 fit defenders at the moment. And that goes into 4 positions. So he's been brought back as cover. If we need to use him, fantastic. If we don't, we'll loan him out again, provided we get centre-back coverage. Because realistically speaking, you know, it's Ashley Young at right-back, which I'm very much on record as saying I don't particularly want, because I just don't, because I'm not quite sure that he's any good there. And I certainly don't want to move Kanz out of the centre-half position. So I think we're coming back for that reason. And if not, we will be able to get another loan for him. Is it risky? It absolutely is, because we may not get a successful loan for him again for the second half of the season. But I think the juice is worth the squeeze considering the predicament we're in at the moment. And I'm not sure we can recall Guilbert. And to be honest with you, I'd probably imagine he's got his heart set on a move. He's not getting any younger. He doesn't want to come back here probably and sit on the bench. Why would he? He's playing for Strasbourg. I know the draw of the Premier League. He's done that. He's probably ticked that box for himself. He's probably going to say, send me back to Ligue 1. And I'll see out my career for the next 6 or 7 years, starting and enjoying playing the game of football. And fair play to him. It just never worked out for him. And, you know,
I think the Kessler thing, it could be just a short-term thing till he gets another defender in, depending on what he's got in mind. He could get a defender in that could mean Konza could cover it right back as well. So it could be a case that, Jesus, he could even go back to Swindon at the end of the month. You wouldn't know. It just depends on who we bring in the next few weeks. But and I'd be more than happy to send him back to Swindon, because he's tearing up trees there, and God, they love him down there. And most importantly, he's playing. that is the most important thing when you go on loan, is that you're actually playing games, and he's played every time he's available.
Absolutely, and he's played well. You know, they loved him. Did you see the tweet that Swindon sent out? They said, like, from his marauding runs to his tackle against Man City, said he's really going to be missed, you know, and he's going to be a top, top player, which is lovely to hear, because, you know, it's not often, and you mentioned it before, it's not often that it's specifically a young player can go out on loan and get a glowing reference, because a lot of teams will turn around and say, well, his heart was never in it, or... you know, you're only minding yourself because you want to go back to your parent club and so on and so forth. So he obviously didn't. And he's obviously, you know, he's obviously, the juice is worth the squeeze for him to go on loan there. And he's obviously made a great impression on people, which is good. Also, there was something else I want to talk about before I got into the transfers. There's just so much been going on. Did you know we signed Philip Coutinho? Yeah, I can't think. There was something else. It was only something small. It was something minor that I wanted to talk about before we went down to transfers. If it comes back to me, I will get back to it. But yeah, look, while we're not sitting here saying Lucas Digne is definitely going to sign, there are reports from Fabrizio Romano and from Sky Sports to say that we're very far down the line. We're in pole position at the moment, and we're negotiating personal terms with the player. It isn't a done deal yet, but. There's a lot coming out, I think, and I could be misconstruing these quotes to the wrong reporters. So if I do, I apologize in advance to any of these reporters. But I think Greg Evans said that this was a big one that Steven Gerrard is pushing for, that he's a very big admirer of Digne. And that, to me, like, there's a gathering momentum and pace of people that, you know, that know what they're talking about, saying that this transfer is going to get over the line pretty soon. So I just did a piece on him, actually, and I released it this morning, and somebody, once again, I can't remember who it was who I was chatting to. I'm going to try and trawl back through and see if I can find who it was, but they did call me on it, and they said that I never looked at stuff like shot creating actions for him, and he's right up there. He's the third most shot creating actions and big chances created within the Premier League over the last, I think it's 4 years or something like that, behind Trent Alexander-Arnold and, Jesus, I'm about as prepared for this podcast tonight.
Was it Andy Robertson?
Talk amongst yourselves. I screenshotted AVFC status tweets on it. I wouldn't feckin' forget it, and then I forgot it, and now I can't find the screenshot. But yeah, he's up there. He's up there, as I say, with in the top three as well, which is something I always neglect when I'm looking at defensive players. My mind just kind of always tracks towards progressive passes, yes, because that's important to see how we're going to play out from defence and so on. But shot creating actions are quite important, I suppose, as well, for wingbacks and fullbacks. And that's not something I took into account. And be honest with you, it really does change my opinion on him, because with the statistics I was showing, he's unspectacular. And I still do think he is unspectacular, if nothing else. But I like that. I don't mind that. And as I say, his defensive abilities are paramount, and especially getting beat by dribblers, I think, is going to be a big plus point for him as well, because he doesn't tend to get beaten by people running at him that often.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say I know too much about him. I watched their video, so I'm a little bit more enlightened at this stage. You know, he's a good solid defender. He's a good solid attacking defender, which fits into the system that we seem to be, you know, setting out. So, it appears that Gerrard has him well within his sights, and it's going to happen. So, it's going to be an interesting few days. He's obviously dead set on getting his signings in early. We know Coutinho. I think he has his work permit hearing in the morning, and that's why it hasn't been formally announced with him with a jersey or a number or anything like that. But with 60-odd caps for Brazil, I don't imagine his work permit is going to be a problem. It's exciting times. I'm happy to see Luca Dean come in. It'll be a wake-up call for Matty Target. He'll be dead set on trying to keep his place. And to be fair to Matt Target, he's been much better since Steven Gerrard came in. But you can't, we spoke about Kane Kessler, you have to have two fullbacks. You have to have fullbacks that are prepared to step in and do the same job. Well, I spoke about Ezri Konsa Ezri Konsa is not going to do the running up and down the line that Matt Cash does or that Kane Kessler-Hayden can do. But if you've got Matt Target and Luca Dean there, the two of them could literally start whatever game the manager decides and can rotate them and give rests and stuff like that. And that's the position we need to be in. And you know, we're looking, you know, we've got two players at the African Cup of Nations. We've got Nakamba out on a long term. And yet we're not, and Bailey is out kind of medium term as well. So, and we're not struggling for numbers. You know, in years gone by, we would be paper thin at this stage with that amount of players gone out of the team. So, you know, it's refreshing to be in a position where we've got so many players able to step up between and that's mainly helped by the likes of Carney and JJ and those guys, Philogene and Bidace, all being around the first team. So we've an embarrassment of riches at the moment, and I think by the end of this transfer window, we might see, you know, including Philip Coutinho, maybe three or four players. So it's exciting times, and so, so happy to be in the position we're in. And, you know, we're only looking up. If you envisage what it's going to be like in a few weeks' time with potentially the new fullback in there, Coutinho in there taking... Coutinho will be like bringing Jack back into the team because they'll be doubling up on them. We'll have a lot more space in midfield. It's just going to be a really exciting time to watch our team play.
Yeah, look, I have to agree with everything you say there. You know, look, do you know what? From a point of balance, Paddy, let's talk about balance and balance the good with the bad. Some may criticise us for having an overinflated squad. I actually have already seen the tweets go around already saying that, well, people are talking about Newcastle trying to buy their way to the top of the league, but no one's talking about Aston Villa. And I'm going, yeah, because... Because where does our money's? Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. Actually, I'm not even going to get into that. Conversation.
We're spending our money to get to the top of the league. Newcastle are spending their money to get out of the shit.
So yeah, to stay in the league.
There's no comparison there.
But I will say,
I'm all for having a full squad, and let's not overlook the fact that there's a couple of players there that need to go out, and we need to get rid of them.
And I think they will. Yeah,
a couple of them mentioned today as well. You know, there's a potential kind of swap deal been muted with Everton for Anwar El Ghazi. It's not something that I can see happening. I really can't. But if it does, I'd be more than happy to take it because he's surplus to requirements at this stage. And that's no slight on him. I've had my rants about him in the past. He also did very well to get us back into the Premier League, but he just hasn't set the Premier League alight. It's all very well saying he scored 10 goals or whatever. You know, anyone worth their salt can take a penalty. That's my opinion.
Ask Gareth Southgate. Speak for yourself. But like I must say that, you know, it's no secret that Duke Castillo wanted out of Everton as well. Like the transfer fee is about somewhere around 20-25. Like that's muted at the moment. I would imagine we'll never find out exactly what the transfer fee is for this. I wouldn't get too hung up on it either. Like a lot of people talk about 28 being too old to play in the Premier League or on the downward slope. Realistically speaking, 26, 27, 28 is the prime. And yes, he's probably on the back end of his prime, but he's a fullback at the end of the day as well, you know. I did say in my piece I did on Lucas Digne that recently a few little niggly injuries have kind of crept in. It's probably something that you want to keep an eye on. Now, it hasn't been the same injury twice, as far as I'm aware. But look, it's just all these little things would be taken into account. Same thing would have been taken into account of Philip Coutinho. But I never mentioned anything to do with injuries to do with Philip Coutinho signing, because for me, the juice is worth the squeeze. And you know, I think it's a position we need to upgrade in. And I think Everton knew the writing was on the wall. They wanted to get as much money as they could now. And we were in a position to pay for him. Ajax have seemed to have done a 180-degree turn on Nicolas Tagliafico as well, and they now want to absolutely keep him, whereas in the summer he was completely gone. And you know, I think if you were to talk about, and I know people are going to say they prefer Aaron Hickey over Lucas Digne, that's absolutely fine. But if you were to prioritize somebody who could come in, hit the ground running, play in the Premier League tomorrow, and you not have to worry one little jot about him, probably Lucas Digne is probably the best option we could purchase for a left back at this minute in time. Everton have got out and bought a left back I actually really, really liked in Vitaly Mykolenko from Dynamo Kiev, and they've just bought him for 21 million. So I would imagine they just want to kind of really recoup that money from the sale of Lucas Digne. Mm-hmm. And obviously they've bought a right back in Nathan Patterson, probably just getting themselves ready for the departure of, or the retirement of Seamus Coleman at some stage. But, you know, Everton knew this was coming. The player knew it was coming. It was a case of finding the right place for him, and Steven Gerrard pushed for it. And, you know, once again, Steven Gerrard has asked for two players. Seemingly, from what we know, he's asked for two players and he's got two players. That bodes well, considering that we do have a transfer committee and a brain trust that look for players there as well. And that's what I wanted to mention as well, Paddy. Speaking of players coming into the club as well, it looks like we're very much down the line, or it's been reported we've bid at least anyway for Kerr Smith from Dundee United, and just want to briefly mention that as well. 850,000. He is a bit of a somebody that people think can reach the heights in the game, and he's been a trial at Villa before, and Gerrard knows him from his time at Dundee United. So it's good to see a scouting at all levels, amongst all leagues and all age groups as well. So
yeah, good. And if that was to happen, that's one for the future. He's 17 years of, well, it would be great if he came in and ripped up trees, but he's 17 years of age. I'm sure it's one to bring in and nurture and develop. So, and there's still plenty of time for that. I see a lot of the comments go mad at we mentioned 29 being over the hill. I certainly don't think 29 is over the
hill. He's only 28. He isn't 29 till the end of the season. but that makes a difference.
In this day and age, you know, the players are looking after their bodies. You know, we see the likes of Ronaldo at 36. Albeit, I think he's probably Shem's a little bit past.
Even.
Yeah, these guys are looking after their bodies so well. You know, if they're not doing tons of running in a game, like I don't envisage Coutinho to do either, he can go for another 4 or 5 years. So, you know, I'm absolutely fine with signing a 29-year-old. If you push that on to 33 or 34, then I'm scratching my head a little bit, because you're not buying for the future. You've just got to come on and... you know, you've got a plan for the future. And, you know, with having these old heads in the dressing room, if you want to call them an old head, that's important too. So they will help the development of the younger guys as well. But, you know, it's all positive. It's absolutely all positive. I can't find one negative in any of the stories that's coming out in the last few days. But in the back of my head, I'm going, where are we going to get rid of players from the... Because we can only fit 25... you know, named in the squad for the Premier League plus our younger players. So that's going to be tough on the likes of, you know, I see people are mentioning Bertrand Traore, Anwar Al Ghazi. These guys are going to struggle to get into the team. Leon Bailey, we haven't even spoken about. Where's he going to go when he comes back in? You know,
that's really, for me. I was really doing a small piece on it, and that's really exciting.
Mm. So there you go.
I want to see this. I'm just after getting a message here on Twitter telling me to look who's just followed Lucas Digne on Instagram.
Steven Gerrard.
No, a small Brazilian man on a plane on his way to Berlin. Right, okay. So
there you go.
There we go. Were they at Barcelona together?
Possibly.
I doubt he's just followed him, but there might have been a crossover there at Barcelona, I would imagine. Look, are Barcelona becoming our feeder team, lads? it's a valid question. It started with Adama Traore, then it was Louis Barry. Now it's Coutinho and Digne. Barcelona, our feeder team. I suppose cyclical, it always comes back that way. We created the Football League, most historic team in all of football. So pay us homage. That's it.
There you go. Maybe Barcelona are passing the baton for us to push on and go into Europe and start conquering again. You never know.
Maybe so. Let's take a look at some of the comments there, because there's an absolute ball of them. I think this might be the most comments I've ever seen. Thank you so much to everybody.
And you know, I think this is all a measure of how excited people are as well. You know, I started looking at comments, but I had to look away because they were just going off the screen.
Yeah, so I think this is in relation to the assists he's third behind Liverpool's player, and that's great. And
it must be Robertson, the other one, so yeah.
You know, I'm not going to say I was critical, but just for me personally, what the fuck do I know? I'm going to preface the next statement with, what the hell do I know? I'm a man sitting here freezing in a T-shirt and with a hat on. Like
that looks a bit like Cat Stevens.
Yeah. So exactly. Yeah. So I look like I'm going to rob a house directly after this. But so I'm going to say that, like, literally, my opinion is just my opinion. But I was kind of the opinion that, do I really want to see a ton of crosses come into the box? But he does cross an awful lot, a lot of the ball. But it might be just the quality of the crossing that we need to sort out. I was a massive fan of Akhmed Mohammadi's raking cross from that mid space, as I would like to even call it. Not at the byline, not at the edge of the box, but almost a deep cross. I was a massive fan of that. So let's see. As I say, I'm an Aston Villa fan. I reserve the right to be fickle and to change my mind at the drop of a hat, and this hat in particular. As Ad says as well, he's also been Everton's top assist man since he's came. I saw one here as well saying, and it's a great point. I'm so sorry, I can't find it amongst all of there it is. So it was from Dan. Edinho is vice captain or was at Everton, so must be a decent leader, which is something that can't be overlooked. What am I saying for the last 6 weeks? We need leaders in the field, need leaders in the pitch. And I think that Coutinho is definitely that experienced head and that leader that it would be, even though he is supposed to be pretty quiet and meek man, but he's that leader by doing it at the top of the field. And then somebody like Dini in there as well, I think is good. Fiddy D says that Dini fell out with Rafa, saying his tactics were too negative. Yeah, I think Rafa, like... Fabio, for me to talk about another football club because I don't really know a whole lot about it, but all that glittered wasn't gold there. And, you know, they didn't give him the money in the summer. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see what happens there with that one, because a lot of people don't seem to want him there, but he seems to be hell-bent at plowing on. So be interesting to hear from an Everton fan. And I do have somebody lined up who is gracious enough to come on to discuss Lucas Digne in more detail, should he sign for Aston Villa as well. So keep an eye out for that as well. Sorry, I'm so sorry about the lack of popping up the comments there as well. This is one from Philly again. Players want to play under Gerrard. The profile of the player we can attract has gone up, and no respect to Dino. I think 100%. That's kind of an apples and oranges. I heard someone make a great point to this, and it's not something I ever want to kind of really think about, but someone made a really, really good point in this. And sorry, Paddy, for talking over you, but we probably wouldn't have signed Watkins or Kanza only for Dino, you know, and I really like that. I really like that.
The caliber of what we've been speaking about now to put Philip Coutinho into that bracket, and, you know, to be linked with players like Pau Torres, Tagliafico, Luca Dean, all of these guys is way above where we were, you know, even in the summer. So, you know, if we've got a manager who's playing attractive football with a good team around him that seems to want good, honest footballers around him, and sure, look, we've heard, and we don't know how true it is, but apparently Philip Coutinho has taken a pay decrease to come and play with us, and that, you know, I think that's brilliant. You know, that just shows the man is coming to play football. It's great that we've an option to buy, because I'm hoping he comes in and takes off like an absolute rocket and is there for a few years. So, you know, I think the figure was quoted at 33 million. Doesn't seem like an awful lot if we're going to get 3 or 4 years out of him. So, fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed indeed. There's an interesting comment here as well. Coutinho is only 3 years old, and Grealish, the player Grealish said he modelled his style. Yeah, like it's mad. Like 29. Yeah, I think we're good. I'm also guilty of that, of thinking that 26, 27, 28, 29 is, oh, that's nice. That's, I know. But, you know, experiences, like I've said it before, experience is either you gain experience when you get what you want, or you don't get what you want. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, you'll have grizzled old veterans that have gone through it and maybe lost, and they've got this experience and this will to win. And then you'll have guys like Coutinho, who's got a ball of medals, you know. And Dini is a ball of medals as well. You know, he's won an awful lot with on his, you know, in Spain and in France as well. And no, winning breeds winning too. So that experience is worth its weight in gold. Specifically when you're coming into a team like this, because if we keep buying all young players, then what's the point of bringing through our own young players? And, you know, our own young players are probably as good, if not better, than a lot of the young players we're being linked with. And talking about young players, Stephen asks, what position is the lad from Dundee? He's a centre-half, about 6'2", 6'3". He's a big strapping centre-half. Yeah, interesting one. Only 17, 18 years of age, so I wouldn't expect to see him around there. Although Josh Feeney was on the bench the last day that we played against... Jesus, who did we play last? I've completely...
we lost,
no idea who we played. Was it Chelsea?
No, it was the one we lost against Brentford.
Brentford. Yes, yeah. That'll tell you, no. Good stuff. So, hello, Mr. Chris Dolan maintains that a backup goalkeeper is coming in along with a centre-back and an essential defensive midfielder. I actually agree, and I think they're probably the only three positions that this squad really, really needs at this moment in time, provided we keep Kane, Head and Kessler around, and I don't see any reason why we wouldn't be Matty Cash's understudy. You'd have to be really happy with the squad if we had another centre half, and he doesn't need to be, need to pull up trees, because while I'm not comfortable with saying it just yet because I've got no statistics on it, I have been trotting out a theory with Paddy about centre halves in general at the moment. And I don't think the centre half we bring in needs to be an absolute world beater. But I do think we need a body there that's able to come in. I want a good one. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not expecting us to go in and sign Scott Dan. Like, you know. But the central defensive midfielder for me is pivotal, and it always has been. And when I've been on with Chris and Dan, and we've spoke about getting a big block of a man to stand in central defensive midfield, and I think we will get somebody in there. May not be the sexy name either that people want. I just have a hunch in that. I don't know anything huge on it, but it may not be the sexy name, and we will get on to speak about somebody who people are talking about in a moment. In Yves Bissouma, but why not? Let's get on to talk about Bissouma, because he was linked today as well, and the Athletic were talking about 50 million being the going rate for Yves Bissouma. And while I don't doubt that that's the going rate for a proven Premier League midfielder, I just don't see Aston Villa Football Club spending it. And I put a tweet out, and I didn't put half enough context into the tweet about what was going on in my mind. I just don't see Aston Villa Football Club spending that in this window. This particular window, because January is, and I know he's a proven player, but like, you know, if you're spending 70 million in January, you best be getting sixth position or seventh position or getting into Europe. And who's to say we don't?
It just seems an awful lot of money to me. You know, if you'd have said to me, you know, 30 million or 25 million, I wouldn't have batted an eyelid, but 50 million just seems like an awful lot. I know he's a good player. You know, I know it's exactly what we need, and you know, supply and demand, they have what we need. They can charge what they more or less like. So, they had been kind of in free fall as well. So, I think they won a game the last time out, I think. So, 50 million would make a huge difference to their squad. So, I could see that potentially being the figure that they've asked. But I do agree with you that I don't believe we'll spend 50 million on a central defensive midfielder at this stage. It just seems like an awful lot of money.
We could look, put it this way. I'll be the first person to remove my trousers and run down the street if we get Yves Bissouma in this January transfer window. I've said it a lot of times. He's a fine player. This is a very Irish thing. When you say he's a fine player, that means he's a very good player. That's just my colloquial way of saying it. It might mean that he's only okay to other people. It's like when my mother asks me, how are you getting on? I go, I'm grand. And then she goes, you only grand? Why aren't you feeling brilliant? And I'm going, no, ma'am, I feel wonderful. I couldn't feel any better, you know.
But I might remind you, on a podcast not too long ago, you said we wouldn't be signing Philippe Coutinho as well.
But you see, as I said, I'm a Fickle fan. And look, as I say, it's what do I know? That's exactly what it is. You know, what do I know? But the DC... You knew how to get your comment put up on the screen anyway. You absolutely did, because you know who my absolute crush in defensive midfielder is. But DC puts up, I think 50 million is too much for Bissouma. I much prefer Doucouré or someone for 30 million cheaper. And Cheick Doucouré from RC Lance is my absolute favorite at the moment. But look, there's absolutely no link to him. So, you know, if we sign Bissouma for 50 million, as the old saying goes, it ain't my money. I don't care, you know. So if we do sign it, I just personally don't want to get my hopes up that we are going to flog 50 million at Brighton. And wait a minute now as well, actually. Can I ask a question about Brighton? No offence to Brighton or anything here, no, just in case anybody thinks there is, but literally every one of their players, they're quoting 50 million for. Ben White, 50 million. Tariq Lamptey, 50 million. Trossard was linked to 50 million, was linked to a 50 million transfer in the summer. It's just a going rate now, you know. I suppose you go to Brighton, Potter's going to say 50 million, and that's fine. That's their prerogative. I hope we do the same. I hope we do the same with some of our players. I hope if somebody comes anywhere near us for someone like John McGinn, we say, yeah, there we go, going rate, lads. You know, and
you know, just seems like an awful lot of money to me. I'm not completely sure we'd spend that kind of money for a central defensive midfielder when we could go. I think we'd get Cheick Doucouré an awful lot cheaper. The guy I spoke to earlier, Boubacar, what was his surname? Marseille?
Boubacar Kamara.
Yeah, I would imagine we'd get him very, very cheaply. I don't know an awful lot about him, but I watched him play a couple of weeks ago and he looked like an absolute beast of a man. You know, it's hard to tell, you know, to second guess. When we briefly discussed Philippe Coutinho last week and you completely dismissed it and I went, no, this is the kind of player we So you just don't know. But just to me, I think 50 million for that position, I think it seems absolute bonkers. You know, I just can't see us going in like that at this point of the season. I can't see someone doing it, but we are in the need of one. We have to bring one in. We can't leave it to Douglas Luiz. And more to the point, I want to see Douglas Luiz pushed on a little bit. So I would much prefer if we had someone to come in and do that job.
Look, as I say, my biggest thing about it's just the figure 50 million for someone in January. It's 34%, and that is as close to being accurate as I can possibly give it. It is 24% higher than our highest ever transfer fee. That's one of the things to the kind of is always a stumbling block for me. And look, I'm not saying that we don't sign Bissouma. I just find it difficult to think we're going to blow 50 million, not blow, wrong word, spend 50 million on a player in this January transfer window. That's all it is. That's all it is. If we do, I'll be the happiest man on the interwebs. Paul Merson, Villa legend, says, and welcome, Paul. Thank you very much for
joining. Nice to have you, Paul.
Bissouma would cost half that in the summer, but 50 million now would stop us getting into a bidding war in the summer. And that is very important. Like, literally, yeah. To be honest with you, we are caught between a rock and a hard place. Do we spend the 50 million now, or do we take our chances that we can, get into Europe and can be a bit of a draw for him in the summer? Because there's going to be bigger sharks circling, because he's a very, very good player. And he is somebody to come in here. I'm not going to say that there's a fallacy around the fact that he plays a defensive midfielder, because he is defensively minded. But I think I'm right in saying that he plays more across a flat midfield three with Brighton. So I know when we talk about a defensive midfielder, I think it's more so a defensive minded midfielder that can come in and can play in that position. And you know, Bissouma can obviously do that. I'm going to pin my colours to the mast. I'm going to say, listen, if we get an unspectacular signing that can come in there and take the load off someone like a Douglas Luiz, a really good defensive positional type player that comes in, because we now have Coutinho up there for the creative side of things and the ball carrying. If we get a bit more of a rigid defensive midfielder to come in there that might be 28, 29, 30 again, just they can come in and see out games for us, or maybe playing those games where our backs are against the wall. And as much and all as we love Jacob Ramsey, and he's fantastic at 19, 20 years of age, give him a break to get him out of maybe games a small bit earlier, so he doesn't run the risk of maybe overexerting himself and coming into injuries in his later life. Manage him from a sports science point of view. I'm okay with that too. I'm okay with that. I have a piece written on somebody, and that's why I'm kind of saying this, because the more I wrote it and the more I looked at the statistics, the more I kind of went, as a stopgap, for what a defensive midfielder brings, you'd have to be kind of happy enough with it. Although Twitter would blow up. If we were linked to him, it's Oriol Romeo. Like if we signed Oriol Romeo, Twitter would blow up. But I think the functionality of the signing, you could look at it and you could give a credence because it's what we need. It's not the most spectacular thing. It's what we need, and it'll be a stopgap depending on the money and stuff. We're not going to get it, go down that road now at the moment. Just me talking and shooting the breeze as we speak now. But like Bissouma does everything. Like he's a decent passer. He's decent at everything, and his statistics look okay from across a lot of key metrics and stuff. But I think, you know, if we put, like, I'm personally not putting all my eggs in the Bissouma basket because I know that there are bigger sharks circling, you know, and he's not the only defensive midfielder that we could potentially sign, would be my view on it.
Yeah.
Watch him sign tomorrow, I know, because it's just like the Coutinho thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of people mentioning the pending trial, or we don't know enough about it, and we certainly won't be discussing it live on air with anybody.
Yeah, not comfortable discussing anything, and that, it's all alleged. So
just in case people think we're avoiding it, you know, this is not the place to discuss something like that. But
absolutely, yeah, not.
We'll move on from that one.
Yeah, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Let's go back to our let's go back to the chats and hello Paddy in the Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. If you haven't seen the Life Aquatic, it's an actual fantastic film, and I think that's what Rona thinks I look like. Steve Zissou from the Life Aquatic. I'll take it. Yeah,
I'm still going with Pat Stevens though.
Rice KJS says the carry is available between 8 and 15 million. That's a steal. I think Zakaria's future is in his own hands. And I think he's probably got a free transfer lined up in the summer. So I think he could bid all you want and might be accepted, but I just don't think he's going to come to any terms with anybody because I think he's got his free transfer lined up. And to be honest with you, it's lucrative enough for players to go on free transfers, as we know, because the signing bonuses go out of this world and it's all cash in their hand a lot of the time. So maybe somebody coming from somebody like Zakaria coming from Mönchengladbach into the Premier League, you know, he could triple quadruple his earnings, his yearly earnings just with a signing on bonus, particularly depending on who he goes to. So it's that and once again we go back to the Bissouma thing. You know, if you go to the summer, does he just wait down his contract until the summer afterwards? But then again, he's a year older. He might get injured. He might break a leg. Might do a cruise shit. Might you know, whatever. You know, you just never know of football. So it could be a concentrated gamble in a lot of these players if they do wait to run out their contracts as well. Lads, thanks so much for all the comments. I'm really sorry for not reading out everybody's comments. We usually go down and read out everybody's. There's a bazillion of them here tonight, and it's fantastic. It's really, really good. And I like the way you guys are commenting to each other in the comments as well. It's a real sense of community and family there. So I do appreciate it. I love it.
While you're looking for one there, Neil, I'm just going to give a plug here for if somebody wants something really interesting to listen to. The Aston Villa goalkeeper did an interview with women's goalkeeper Hannah Hampton did an interview with Ben Foster.
Yes,
if you go and have a listen, it's a really intriguing listen. You know, her backstory from playing with Villarreal at 5 years of age to, you know, coming back and playing with Blue Baggies Birmingham City. It's just a mad story, and someone who has zero depth perception, is that what you call it? Which is crazy to believe that
she's a goalkeeper.
Yeah,
it's madness.
And a load of operations on her eyes. Even though she's a Baggy fan, it's well worth a listen if you get the chance.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That would be... It is good. Yeah, you mentioned it to me there. Yeah. I haven't you told me a bit about it. I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. I'm actually going to listen to it directly after this.
And also the Villa View did an interview with The Athletic did an interview with Conor Horan. It's about an hour and a half long. How they got him on for that length of time is beyond me, but it's a brilliant interview. It's well worth a listen.
He's a Cork man. You never shut them up, sure. You know? Dara, I don't believe you. The backup goalkeeper is Karius. I don't believe you. I don't. I misquoted Victor Meldrew that I was trying to do there when I mentioned it. But no, guys, it's been an interest. Like realistically speaking, I said it maybe about before the Brentford game. I was going, like every time I see the see something to pop up on my Twitter feed, it's like, oh, don't be the game call off because we've got coronavirus. Now every time something pops up in our Villa feed, it's like somebody is signing or we're linked with somebody or Steven Gerrard has been on the phone to this person, or, you know, it's all like, isn't it mad the way it shifts from, I'm not going to say negative because it hasn't really been negative, but I suppose after the Brentford game, there was a whole feeling of, shit, that's the one we shouldn't have lost, you know. And if we are really as good as we think we are, and if the players are as good as we think we are, and do we need a full clean out? And is the honeymoon period over, Steven Gerrard? And potentially, they're all still valid questions that we'll ask at some time in the future again. But it's mad the way the whole narrative flips. We now have Philippe Coutinho, and we have potentially Lucas Digne come in, and two top class internationals, or two experienced internationals, whether you think they're top class or not. It's to be seen, but it's mad. The game of football twists in its head so many times, and long may it continue. Long may the arrow be pointed up for Aston Villa, specifically in the transfer market, because it's a wonderful time of year. I'll never forget. Well, I have actually forgot the year.
It's your favorite time of the year anyway. You can't wait for Christmas to be over every year. Yeah, instead, yeah. Talking about
Christmas is a speed bump on the way to the transfer window. But I was going to say, I never forget, but I actually do forget the year. If anyone can pop into the comments there and tell me what year we signed Simon Dawkins. Because
2014, was it?
Could be. I remember I was going, it was right cold January evening, and I was going to play 7-a-side soccer. And phone went, and I looked at my phone, and it was Aston Villa have signed. I was like, oh, nice one. We've signed someone in the transfer window, and Simon Dawkins. And I went, who the fuck is Simon Dawkins? Who is he?
We have a list of those January.
Sounds like an insurance salesman. Nothing wrong with insurance salesman. Nothing wrong with insurance salesman. I tried to do it myself one time, but Simon Dawkins is kind of a fella you go and there's your life policy, you know. Mm. Where'd you get it from? Dawkins and Dawkins and Sons, you know. But fair play to him.
This is how far we've come. There's no talks of a Josh Onuma or a Tom Carroll or a Borja Baston. So. We're way, way, way down the line from them. And it's refreshing to be watching real footballers being linked as opposed to guys who they just need to send out and give minutes or see out the rest of their contract in the case of Borja Baston, which is bonkers. But anyway,
yeah. There you are. Yeah, God, I forgot about Borja Baston. Tom Carroll signed. Did he play a game? Did he come on? No, he got injured in training or something like that. No, he did. He came on. He got injured, and then we kind of just sent him back. We said, listen, lads, it's not going to work here. We send him back to rehab back at Swansea or whatever. But, yeah.
Did he play in that ill-fated game against Spurs where it's Engels at the ball going under his foot on the halfway line and Son scored? I don't know why I have that in my head.
No, that was in the Premier League. No,
before that, was it?
Tom Carroll was in their championship. For sure. Tom Carroll was in the championship. Yeah. I do. I remember that as well, Misha. I remember Sally Fu. I remember there was a big big hullabaloo outside Villa Park, and Sky Sports News were like, "Oh, we're off to Villa Park," and there's a man there, and he was there, and signing from the Lithuanian 7th division is Togolese Zidane Mustafa Salifu. Yeah, so I think, where did he sign from? I think he signed from like the Swiss 2nd division or something.
No idea. No idea.
Yeah, but anyway, we could stay here. We could talk all night. And ladies, thank you so much for popping on. Really appreciate that. There's some huge numbers. You know, comments are literally flying up there like a ticker tape. Like, it's like looking at a stock market ticker tape here. It's just flying up. And at, like the stock market, Aston Villa are flying up and up in PR, perception, world views. As I said, I cheekily said world domination in a podcast a couple of weeks ago. And long, little did I know that we would be on the world's lips at the moment, because we're the only one moving and shaking really in the transfer market, and long may it continue that we're getting all this good PR, and let's hope that all the good PR translates onto the field in the not too distant future, starting with tomorrow, because I was just about to end up with the podcast. Paddy, is there any point in talking about this United game, because we've no idea what team they're going to put out, and we've certainly have no idea what team we're going to put out tomorrow.
Plus we're going to be back at a 6:45 tomorrow to discuss the team, if United are going to take this seriously or not, or put out their first team, or indeed if we are, whether this is our focus, which I hope it is, because I think there's a good opportunity. Also worth mentioning, with Leeds and Burnley both eliminated, we will see those games probably played in the next few weeks. So keep an eye out for that one. Yeah. Those that had tickets for that. So there's the other one we forgot. Grant Holt also signed in January.
Grant Holt, yeah, you wouldn't want to meet him down at Dak alleyway. No, he went on to become a professional wrestler afterwards. Yeah. And it's like me, I'm like the Brooklyn Brawler here, but Grant Holt actually was decent. It was a decent wrestler afterwards. He wrestled at a decent level, apparently. But anyway, that's another podcast. Where are they now? Thanks so much, everybody, for watching, for listening. Before you go, if you could just hit the like button, there's over 200 and whatever people here a moment ago. Just hit the like button if you haven't done so already. Just really helps the channel and helps to push it out amongst all the to the wider community. Really appreciate everything you guys do. If you aren't already subscribed, also, we just love a subscription as well. It's all part of the Vanity Project, as we've said before. Really appreciate everything. On a more serious note, we will be back tomorrow with the Team Sheet Tantrum. Really appreciate you all for taking your time on a Sunday evening. It's 20 past 10. Let's get to bed and let's start dreaming of more transfers. So until tomorrow at whatever, what time do we say, Paddy? We're going to do the Team Sheet Tantrum 10 to 8, 10 to 7?
Quarter to 7. Matches are 5 to 8, is it? 5 to 8?
We'll go a quarter to 7 anyway, because I'm sure we'll have about another 45,000 transfer links between now and tomorrow anyway. So we'll go a quarter to 7. We'll see you for the Team Sheet Tantrum. Enjoy yourselves. Stay safe. And all that's left to say, everybody, is up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.